Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest interview here on WrestleView.com. My name is Jason Amico. I recap all things independent wrestling for this fine website. This Saturday, Combat Zone Wrestling and Women's Superstars Uncensored return for a deadly doubleheader at the Flyer Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. WSU starts at 4 p.m. with Excellence. CZW starts at 7 o'clock for Down with the Sickness. You can check out both of these shows on iPay-Per-View at StreamCZW.com. One of the participants on the CZW show on the line with me is the former Combat Zone Wrestling heavyweight champion, a man who's pretty much done it all in the Combat Zone, the King of Philly, the Black G's. Black G's, how's it going, man?
Yo, what's going on, Jason?
Good,
how you feeling, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. Got a lot to talk about with you. a lot of things to discuss over the last few months with yourself in the Combat Zone and all things like that. Now, there was another interview that you conducted with CZW about your entire career. I'm not really going to delve into the beginnings of your career and historic things and things like that. If you guys want to check that out, it's on CZWstudios.com, CZW's subscription website. You can check that out, $9.99 a month. It's available for all different vendors as well if you want to find out more about Black G's career in the Combat Zone and all throughout independent wrestling. I want to start with you in terms of Cage of Death, Cage of Death 16 that took place this past December. You were in the main event inside the Cage of Death against Sojo, who was the current Combat Zone Wrestling champion at the time, Biff Busick and Drew Gulak. A lot of people going in had some doubts about this main event. Like, they were kind of there was a lot of surprise, like, how's this match going to turn out? And you guys delivered a great deal, had a very brutal but very good Cage of Death main event. It involved a weed whacker of all things being used by yourself to lead to you winning the Combat Zone title from Sojo. Thoughts on the build to that? Thoughts on the build to Cage of Death with what I mentioned, the doubt from some critics about you four guys being placed in that main event. The use of the weed whacker, how that came to be, and yourself finally winning the Combat Zone Wrestling Heavyweight title.
I mean, I think the build up to it was good. It was really good. And I mean, I liked it. Like with me, I'm all about the story of it and making sure all of the characters that's involved, you know what I'm saying, put in the right situation to shine. So I think like it was perfect. To me, the story was put together perfectly.
Right.
And like a lot of people respected it, a lot of people enjoyed it. But then there's people that, you know what I'm saying, they just don't know what they want. You know, like, they'll scream about wanting more stories, and then when you get a story, then they complain about that. You know, so, I mean, with wrestling in general, man, you can't win. Like, some people going to love it, some people going to hate it. But what we need to do is have confidence in doing what we're doing, because no matter what, they're going to pay attention, and they're going to voice their opinions. Like, if they don't say anything at all, then there's a problem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The fact that we're doing what we're doing, if they say anything, that means we got them, which is a good thing. So I think the build-up, again, was perfect. As far as the weed whacker, that wasn't my call. That was one of the other guys' calls.
Okay.
And it was unexpected. When we pulled the weed whacker out and we used it, you can tell by the reaction of the crowd that they wasn't expecting it. And when they saw it, they was like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens. You know what I'm saying? And, I mean, it was a win-win.
Definitely.
You know? So, as far as winning the world title, I mean, it was about time. I mean, like you said in the introduction, I did pretty much everything in CZW. That was the only thing that I hadn't done. It was about that time. I mean, like, honestly, way back, a couple years back when we were still at the arena and Devin Moore was a champ.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It would have been a good time to go with that then. But, you know, company chose to go a different direction. That's fine. But they built it up good this time, you know. So, you know, in the long run, I mean, it happened. It was a good call, and I think it worked.
Now, over the course of the fall and even into the beginning of the title run, it seemed like there was delving into maybe possibly going with you as a babyface.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of things that you kind of were put in different positions where you perceived you being put into a babyface setting. And it seemed like, especially with the January show, the Nets show, To Live Is To Die, your first title defense against former champion Sojo, and the angle right. that happened at the end of the show. Seemed like it was an idea to kind of put the brakes on that. Was that kind of mindset behind that whole angle at the end of the January show, or what was the deal with that?
Well, the whole babyface thing was when they turned me babyface at it was the February show last year.
Right. Yeah.
They turned me babyface. I was completely against it. I didn't want to be babyface because I was here on CZW for so long that, like, honestly, I didn't think that I would be able to pull off being a babyface. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like one of my maybe fear is the right word. I don't know, but like I was completely against being a babyface. I was comfortable being a heel. And I don't think I wanted, like, the responsibility of trying hard to be a babyface, you know?
Right.
So then, like, I was against it. They did it. We ran with it. So then I was just looking at it like, all right, okay, well, I'm a babyface, you know what I'm saying? I'm confident in my abilities. You know what? Let me just do everything I got to do to be a babyface. And for the first couple months, it just wasn't clicking because I wasn't used to being a babyface. But then, you know what I'm saying, I just worked at it, and it started feeling natural to me. But then, like, the whole build-up to getting the Cage of Death and everything, I'm still babyface, but not traditional babyface, you know what
right.
I'm saying? I'm not shaking hands and all that other traditional stuff. I'm just same character, just slight differences. But then going into January, the plan was for me to become a heel again. And by the time, like, when they wanted me to become a heel, I was thinking, man, I'm liking this babyface thing, but it's whatever. You know what I'm saying? I can pull off whatever. So then we did the deal where I turned heel. And, I mean, like, honestly, like, that was a situation that, like, it worked for me. But, like, when you having a match like that and you switching roles, sometimes it's harder for one of the characters in the match. I think, like, in that situation, as far as the January show, it was a situation where it was a little tougher for Sozio's character because, like, yeah, he was in a position of he was a heel for a long time, too. And then when you switching him to be a babyface, you know what I'm saying, because of how the audience perceives him, it's a little bit hard. It was a little harder for his character. But to me, Sozio is a talented dude, and he can pull off anything, too. So.
Right.
So that was the plan. We did that. And, like, Sozio was babyface. And, you know what I'm saying, it took a little while, but he got his groove going. And now he's a strong babyface. So it worked out. And that's just a matter of when people have been in the game for a long time and they're confident in their talents and they know what they're doing and they're not worried about people, like, bashing them or whatever. Because people are going to do that anyway. You know what I'm saying? Bottom line was Sozio was talented enough to make anything work, and it worked.
Yep.
So it was a win.
Now, the one thing that you've been known most for throughout your entire career, and especially in the last year, has been your promos. More so recently, the promos that's been put up on CZW's YouTube channel.
Right.
Talk about the mindset into delivering those promos and. Was there like any influences on them from, like, you know, obviously, you know, everybody has influences in terms of their wrestling ability or promo ability or character or whatnot. Was there any influences on those promos with you?
Well, as far as my promo style, if I mention some of the old school guys that I idolized promo wise, I mean, it really wouldn't click in your head like, wow, I can see that. Because, you know what I'm saying, I study different people and I take this and that, but then I apply it to how it would work for me. You know what I'm saying? It's also mixed with my personality and everything. So, of course, I always like Ric Flair's promos. Of course, I always like Tully Blanchard, Jake the Snake, all the old school legends, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then also, like, my whole time being in Blackout, I was around Robbie Marino, Eddie Kingston all the time. And we both know how great both of them are at promos.
Yes.
So, like, being around them, I picked up on their promo style and just added it to what I do. And, like, for a long time early in my career, like, I was pretty much scared to cut promos. You know what I'm saying? Whenever we'd have to cut promos, I would be shy, real shy, and wouldn't want to do them. I didn't have confidence in them. and then something happened where, like, it was a situation where I needed to be on point promo-wise, and I failed. I dropped the ball. So my homework to myself was, I was like, all right, I'm going to become a better talker. I'm going to be better at character, and, you know what I'm saying? And then from that point on, I just worked at it. And now, like, I love promos. I'd be cool just cutting promos every month. Pretty sure I could get a better reaction than guys that do nothing but flips all day. And then when you ask them to cut a promo, they can't because they don't know what their character is. But, like, with my promos, you know what I'm saying? Like, with how I am my promos, I'm real vulgar. I use a lot of profanity. And I know there's people that'll have, like, the argument of, man, if you're so great at promos, why do you have to cut? Well, everybody in everyday life cuts. You know what I'm saying? This is the indies. We already know what crowds are like on the indies. You know what I'm saying? Right. People can relate to the cuss words and the topics that I talk about in my promos. That's fine. And I also think that everybody at this point can understand that I've been doing this long enough to where I can adjust my promo style no matter where I'm at. If it's a family-oriented company, I can cut passionate promos without using foul language. You know what I'm saying? I'm smart enough to cut good promos where it gets the point across without using foul language. I did that my first night in TNA. So and everywhere, I can cut promos and get the job done regardless of whether I use profanity or not. So anybody that thinks that I can't, oh, well, we can bet some money. And if I can cut promos better than your best promo cutter in your company. It's an arrogant statement. I'm sort of arrogant, and I'm confident about my ability. So that's what it is.
We moved to February, and you had defended the title against Chris Dickinson.
Right.
And there was a situation that occurred after the match where he got on the mic, said some stuff about you, said some stuff about the combat zone, and just walked out, and we haven't seen him since.
Right.
I know you talked about it yourself. You're very outspoken, all this other stuff. What can you talk about in terms of what took place that night with Dickinson?
All right. Well, as far as that night, if things would have, like, went completely perfect, it would have been a clap.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I've wrestled Chris Dickinson a bunch of times, like in CZW and like way back. Like, remember when he was around before he had his injury, and then he left for a little while. I wrestled him a couple times then. You know what I'm saying? I've always had good chemistry with Dickinson. I always liked Dickinson. As far as that night, you know, things just wasn't clicking, and that happened. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That happens with everybody. It just wasn't clicking. As far as, like, what he said on the mic, number one, I didn't have a problem with it. Number two, Dickinson is another guy that's outspoken, and he says what's on his mind.
Yeah.
I can respect that. Another thing was there was a lot of, like, backstage stuff going on that was unfortunate. And it's real unfortunate when, like, backstage things have to affect what goes on in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Because to me, when Dickinson came into CZW and his rise in CZW, the audience loved him. And if it was me running things, I would have given Chris Dickinson the ball. He should have been. There was a time in CZW when Dickinson should have been the top guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, you know, backstage stuff happens. You know what I'm saying? And then people that make those decisions make the decision of whether people are going to be around or whether they're going to leave, you know? It was just a messed up situation, and you know what I'm saying? I think that if things would have went the way that they needed to go, the match would have been perfect, man. And you know what I'm saying? I was looking forward to the match. I mean, I know if me and him got in the ring again, it would be perfect. So, you know, it was all good.
We go to the spring, and it starts up the build to your feud with Matt Tremont, building up to the very first match. What was very interesting, unlike other independent titles or champions who have the title, and pretty much every show they'll be defending their title, you kind of went with almost what the WWE did last year with Brock Lesnar, making him, you know, a prize fighter. You only defended the title a couple times. You know, you had the title defense in May, you had the title defense when we get to July, and then obviously the impromptu one on the last show.
Right.
And I know I remember seeing your stuff on social media and a lot of comparisons you were making to Floyd Mayweather. Was that kind of the mentality and mindset behind doing this kind of different thing as champion by being more of a prize fighter than being the classic champion who defends the title on every show?
Yeah, because, like, I mean, once again, man, this is the indies, and the mind state for a lot of indie companies, whether it be indie wrestlers, indie owners and bookers, like, they all sort of look at things, in my opinion, like, sort of clownish, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the indies, but that doesn't mean that we have to think indie, you know what I'm saying? We all need to look at ourselves as stars. We all need to carry ourselves a certain way, and we need to make sure that our characters look a certain way. Like we need to keep people interested. And like with a lot of indie companies, yeah, you have your champion, and then your champion is wrestling this guy this month, this guy next month. For the most part, it's all the same everywhere you go. So my mind state was this. I'm like, okay, cool. This is what I want to do. I know, like I know how I want my character to be perceived. I'm a bad guy. So, you know what I'm saying? I want to do any and everything that's unlikable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I can go out there and have these 5-star matches every month, brother. But there's no money in that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you can have Black G's versus this guy, and you can bring this guy in to wrestle Black G's for the title. Okay, yeah, it'll be a good match. Yeah, wonderful. Now what? You know what I'm saying? I want stuff to be as creative as possible. I want things to be as interesting as possible. Like, whether you like it or not, man, yeah, we're all pro wrestlers, but this is entertainment. You know what I'm saying? As much as people like to look at using the word entertainer, sports entertainer, and pro wrestling, people want to look at that as a bad word. You're not supposed to say that, brother. We're wrestlers. Well, I mean, look, man, you can be the greatest wrestler in the world, and you can be broke. Entertainers are the ones that make money. You know what I'm saying? I look at it like this. You have to go out there and be entertaining, and you got to be creative, like I said, man. So, like, my whole thing was with this title reign, I don't want it to be like everybody else's. I want this to be very, like, character-oriented, story-oriented, you know what I'm saying? I want everything to matter. And I think from the time that we started the story with Matt Tremont all the way up to the finish of that story with him winning the title, judging by the reaction of the audience, I think it was a win-win for everybody. And there was a lot of people that had their doubts in it, you know what I'm saying? And that goes for, like fans, podcasters, everybody. But I think it was a win-win. I mean, you can't fake the reaction of that crowd when Tremont won that title.
Yeah, it was amazing. One of the best reactions I ever heard out of the Gate Zone for a CZW show. So, yeah, good stuff. We go to May, and this is where you're put into another kind of staple of throughout your Combat Zone career, and that's being put in a stable or a faction, tag team. Started up TV Ready in May with Pepper Parts and Cherry Bomb, who on that same doubleheader won the WSU World title.
Right.
What was the origins behind doing TV Ready?
Okay, this was the origins. Like, originally, I pitched an idea. What I wanted to do, like, one of the stables that I always loved was Dangerous Alliance back in WCW. That was one of my favorite stables. You know what I'm saying? So, my original idea that I pitched to CZW was this. It was me, Pepper Parks, Cherry Bomb, Joker, and Papa Don. Now, if you look at all of our names on paper, it's like, whoa, time out, man. All of them together, that looks kind of awkward. But then when you think about how all of us work, you know what I'm saying, how all of our characters are, the way that we do things, you have a bunch of people that can go into any company in the world and stand out, whether that's an indie company or a major company. Every one of us can stand out in any company that we go to. All of us are unselfish. All of us have been around for years. We've traveled the world. We know what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? So that was the original plan. So for whatever reason, a lot of it has to do with politics. It didn't pan out the way that it was originally planned to pan out. And the thing is, if people were to, like, look back at what was going on at the time, like, we were pretty much dropping some gems in all of our promos. You notice that, like, I wrestled Pepper Parks, I wrestled Papa Don, me and Joker had a tag match. And then in the promos, Like, we would all say simple things in the promos that if some of these wrestling fans were smart like they think they were, they could have watched those promos and pretty much already knew what was coming. But I guess they're not as smart as they think they are. But you know, like, it didn't pan out that way, but we still went with me, Pepper Parts, and Cherry Bomb, and I think that's a winning stable. And I'm going to say it again. All three of us, we know what we're doing. We're unselfish. We can go through any company in the world and stand out. All of us have been on TV. All of us have done pay-per-view. You know what I'm saying? So we know what we're doing. And me, Pepper Parts, and Cherry Bomb, we definitely TV ready. And man, I mean, I'd say that the CPW audience and the indie audience everywhere can look forward to TV ready, really doing some real major things over the next few months.
How's it been working with Pepper and Cherry so far since the stable's been formed?
I love it. I love it. You know, I'm big fans of both of them. Like, it's crazy that neither one of them have contracts with WWE right now. I really think that both of them deserve that, you know?
Right. And now, before I move on, I want to talk about, today I said, mentioned that you throughout your combat zone career, have been part of a bunch of factions, a bunch of stables, a bunch of tag teams. If there was anything, what do you see are the similarities or even differences between TV Ready and then the other two major factions you're known for, Black Alley and Philly's Most Wanted?
All right, well, TV Ready is, I would say, is a bit similar to Blackout in a way, in this way right here. Like, when you look at, like, how Blackout was over the years, when you look at how, let's say if it was me, Ruckus, and Robbie Marino,
right,
how we come across in companies when it's just us three, it's more of like a TV style, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With me, Pepper Parts, and Cherry Bomb, that's similar. It's more of like a TV style. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's their similarity there. There's definite similarities there. With me and Joker, you know, it's sort of like a TV style, the way how major companies have their matches now, you know what I mean, where it's a little bit more action, it's a little bit more hard-hitting.
Right.
But at the same time, me and Joker style is sort of like Japanese style, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there's similarities, there's differences, you know what I'm saying? But I think this is a good stable, and I'm looking forward to like what we're going to be doing over the next few months.
Mentioned a couple of minutes earlier, but I want to talk about it a little bit again. All last month, lost the title to Tremont Retribution impromptu, was not previously announced on the card, and it got a huge reaction when Matt won the title. And and on social media, you put on there, reactions like that is why I love this shit. Kind of expound upon that. I know you get to a little bit earlier, but kind of expound upon that.
Okay, this is the thing. Like, I've been on the indies for a long time, man. And for the most part, I mean, like, I think every indie wrestler can relate to this. There's some weekends where things happen where you love it, and it makes you love it even more. And then there's other weekends where you do this, and I don't know, maybe you got to deal with a clown promoter, or you're working with somebody who just doesn't get it when, you know what I'm saying, you're trying to put a match together where it makes both of you look good, but this guy just wants to get his shit in, and he's just selfish. That type of stuff is a headache, and it's annoying.
Right.
But, like, what I said was, the reason why I said what I said was because, like, the reaction to that crowd for Tremont winning, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's one of the things that I live for, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's why, like, when I'm being a bad guy, I do any and everything to make people hate me, because that's your job when you're a bad guy.
Yep.
I'm not for this cool bad guy nonsense that a lot of people do, because when you think about it, if you're a bad guy and you're wrestling a good guy, and suppose, like, the stuff that you do looks cooler than the good guy, you're defeating purpose. You know what
right.
I'm saying? I'm not one of these indie bad guys that's just trying to sell my T-shirt, you know what I'm saying, and sell my merch. I'm trying to get the story out there. I'm trying to make sure that the story is perfect. I'm trying to make sure that the good guy looks good. I'm trying to make sure that everybody hates me. Because when you're telling a story, you know what I'm saying, it's good versus evil. You know what I'm saying? And good always wins. So when you showcase that in a wrestling setting, and the end result is the entire crowd who thinks that they're smart and they think they know it all, you know what I'm saying, they react really big, that means that you did your job. So that whole situation from the beginning to the end of the story with Tremont, the reaction of that crowd when he won, that made me, that you know what I'm saying? that made me feel like, man, this is why I love doing this shit, because of the reaction of that crowd, you know? And Tremont deserved it, too. He deserved it, like, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, they made decisions that I wouldn't have made, so the whole plan was, you know what I'm saying, let's do this the right way and make sure that Tremont, you know what I'm saying, gets his moment that he deserves.
As we're sitting here, September the 8th, what is your overall view of CZW currently as a company?
As a company, I think that there's some decisions that are questionable. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure. if it was me running the company, there's, like, a bunch of decisions that I would have made. I would have made some different calls. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I look at it like you have a roster of talent, and what you need to do, no matter what, is you need to put your talent in the best possible situation to shine. Like, it's really backwards, in my view, if you put talent in a position to fail, and then when it fails, you blame them for it. Or, like, if talent has an idea and you don't want to do it because it wasn't your idea, and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? I just think that, like, it could be some better decisions made. People could be put in better situations. But I don't want to make it seem like I'm just coming down on CZW. That's, like, that's something that happens everywhere you go, man. But,
yeah.
You know, like, it just needs to be some better decisions made. It's a good roster of talent, man. There's guys that have been around for a long time that know what we're doing. There's younger guys that's coming up that's very talented that need to be led. You know what I mean? So,
right.
I just think, like, if there was better decisions, if there was better communication, the product would be better than what it is, you know?
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. And over the last few months, would you say, with the title reign, would you consider this one of your more enjoyable runs with the company over the last few years or so?
Yeah, definitely, because, like, once again, I'm all about, like, character development and story. So, like, now I'm at a point in CZW where I do have, fortunately for me, I do have freedom, like creative freedom, you know?
Right.
Something that I didn't have years ago because I wasn't proven enough to have it. But, like, with that title run, I think it was a success. You know, there's people that bash that title reign only because it's like, well, how can you have a champion that never defends the title, blah, blah, blah. But, hey, man, like I said, look, this is all about characters. Like, when you watch television shows, when you watch movies,
mm-hmm.
like, the whole movie, it's like the character, the main characters, you know what I'm saying, they're going through some things where you're telling the story of the character while you're telling the story. You know what I mean? So I just looked at it that way, and I think it was a successful title reign.
I want to talk about some of the extra shots or trials you've had with some of the major companies over the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
WWE and TNA, you did stuff for them in 2012. I mean, TNA, you did a bunch of other appearances in the years since then,
right.
2012. And also, you and Ruckus as Blackout competed in a tag team tournament for Ring of Honor as well in the early days of the Sinclair run in 2012. Talk
right.
about those experiences with those companies, and has there been any contact since then from any of them in recent times?
Okay, so when I first got into this, the only thing I ever wanted to do was wrestle in Japan because I felt like I was too small to make it to WWE or whatever. You know
right.
what I'm saying? So everything I've accomplished aside from Japan has been a blessing. You know what I'm saying? So now, like, the times that I did with WWE, I enjoyed it. TNA, I enjoyed that too. Like, with TNA, I really wanted to be a part of TNA. You know, like, a lot of people bash TNA, whatever, whatever, but my experience with them that I had, I wanted to be there because
right.
it wasn't the indies. It's a television product, and in a television product, you know what I'm saying, it's all about characters first, then wrestling second. Of course, wrestling is important, but your character, you know what I'm saying? So that was one of the main reasons why I wanted to be there. Another reason was, like, you look at the talent on the roster, and it's a bunch of guys that know what they're doing.
Right.
Not like the indies, where once again, you'd be in these indie locker rooms, you have a bunch of guys that think they know it all, but they don't. And then they go out there, and they shit the bed because all they're worried about is these podcasters and the internet praising their match. They're worried about, well, such and such had a 5-star match, brother. Who cares? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, that was the main reason why I wanted to be part of TNA. You know, it didn't work out. Unfortunate. I haven't had any contact with TNA. Haven't had any contact with WWE. That's okay. That's fine. You know what I'm saying? Ring of Honor, that was fun, too. You know, I enjoyed it. I haven't had any contact with ROH. I mean, hey, you know, the thing is, you know what I'm saying? Of course, I would love to be part of bigger companies, but if it's not going to happen, it's just not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the type that's sitting around being bitter or losing sleep because I'm not part of this company or that company. That's just part of the game. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they don't have interest, but who knows? You know what I'm saying? The way wrestling works is, a company may not have interest today, and then one day next week you'll get contacted, and then you just take it from there. So, you know, that's how this game is. There's up, there's down. But, you know, as long as you still doing your thing, you having fun doing it, that's all you can do.
Okay. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong. I believe over the last year, you really started going back in terms of, like, traveling out to different independents across the country.
Yeah.
I've seen you work for AWS out of California, Jersey mm-hmm. All Pro Wrestling, and its revival comes to mind. You're the current light heavyweight champion for them. They got a show mm-hmm. coming up in November. Can I talk about some of the indies you've started going back out to travel for over the last year? Obviously, those two come to mind. And what have been some of your more enjoyable ones to work for?
I always love working for Jersey All Pro, man. I think I started with them, like, a long time ago. But the entire time I've been working for them, they've been good to me. You know, they put me in positions to shine. You know what I'm saying? That's all you can ask for. So every time I'm there, I enjoy it. Alpha Omega out in California, that's a good company. There's a lot of talent out there. I enjoy going out there. I mean, and it's California too, man. You can't beat that.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, for the most part, everywhere that I travel to wrestle for, I enjoy myself. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm in a position now where, like, guys will come to me to ask me to watch their matches or whatever. I'm a guy that you can put me in there with anybody, and the match is going to be good. Like, the story that we tell is going to be good. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's all you can ask for. Like, just to go out there and be put in situations where you can help each other shine. You know what I'm saying? Because all of this selfishness and all of this, just got to get my shit in, fuck you looking good, that's pointless and it's stupid. Like, nobody wins from that. You know what I'm saying? Like it's enough money to go around on the indies where everybody can be comfortable, I feel. But, you know, like egos and attitudes just fuck that up. And that didn't have anything to do with the question, but I sort of go on a rant a lot of times.
It's all good. Also recently, about a week or two ago, you had your first appearance with Global Force Wrestling. They had shows up in Harrisburg and in Richmond, Virginia. Talk about the overall experience working for Global Force for the first time. Thoughts on them as a company. Obviously, they're just starting out doing the minor league mm-hmm. ballpark tours and things like that. And do you have any future upcoming dates for them?
Well, Global with GFW, like everything I experienced there, it was professional. There wasn't any egos there. Everybody was there for the same reason, and that was to have a good show. The fans that were there, they enjoyed themselves. And, you know, the matches I put in, I mean, me and Sanjay, we've worked with each other at least 100 times over the years. So
right.
If you put me and Sanjay in a match, nothing can go wrong. You know what I'm saying? So I had a good experience there, and I do want to go back. I don't have anything upcoming with them right now, but who knows? You never know. I know that I did well enough to be brought back, and when it happens, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Kind of close to that by doing something different. I want to play a little word association or phrase association. Whatever comes to mind with the following word or phrase, please say whatever. Okay. The indie scene in 2015, I know we kind of talked about that a little earlier, but overall thoughts on the independent scene in 2015?
There's good and there's bad.
Okay. WSU.
Lots of potential. Better decisions need to be made.
Okay. Pepper Parts.
Dr. Parks, a star. He should be under contract making a lot of money. He's been in the game for a long time. And at the end of the day, when you've been doing this for as long as he has or any of us has, when your bump card is up and you can't do this anymore, you want to be financially stable. And he's someone that deserves to be a millionaire right now.
Jerry Bomb.
Same thing. Very talented. She's a star. To me, she's the best female on the indies right now. She has everything covered. She can talk. She can work. She knows what her character is. She's unselfish. She has a great look. You know what I'm saying? I think she should be on TV right now making a lot of money.
Matt Tremont
is a star. You know how, like, there's an argument that you have to look a certain way to be a professional wrestler?
Right.
I think differently. Like, Matt Tremont is, like, one of the old school guys from the territories where, like, no, he doesn't have a bodybuilder's body, but everything that he does, you believe, and he can talk. You know what I'm saying? There's a reason why Matt Tremont goes to every company he goes to, and he's the most popular guy there, because the fans believe. The fans believe everything that he does, and Tremont loves it. Like, Tremont is somebody that can shine in any company, whether it's the indies or major companies, man. Like, Tremont is a definite star. And he's hardworking. He has a great attitude, too.
Sozio.
I think Sozio is another guy that's talented. And he should. I think Sozio should be getting booked in more places so that people can really see the talent that he has. A lot of people bash him. And, like, people bash Sozio a lot, like, online and everything because, you know, fans tend to believe that the person playing the character is that person 24/7. I look at it like, if fans are believing that when they think that they're so smart, that person must be very talented. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think Sozio is a talented dude that should get more opportunities so people can really see how talented he is.
Dojo Wars,
I mean, it's a good concept. Like, you always want to put your students in a position to get as much ring time as possible in front of a crowd. If I was the one running it, I would change a few things as far as how matches are laid out. You know what I'm saying? I would add things like in-ring promos. Like, any and everything that you can do to help these younger, inexperienced people, you know, get more comfortable in front of crowds. Because when you look at it, Dojo Wars is practice. Dojo Wars is where you have your matches. And you shouldn't be scared to fuck up because, you know what I'm saying, the way you get better is from fucking up. So, you have to go out there and Dojo Wars and, you know, maybe go out there and not call anything in the back. Just go out there and just let things flow. And then if it works out, cool. If it doesn't, you know what you need to work on. So that's my view on Dojo Wars.
Ruckus.
Ruckus is a star, man. Like, I learned a lot from Ruckus. I learned how to make sure, you wrestling this guy, that guy. I learned from Ruckus how to make sure that the match showcases me and the people that's in the match with me and not just a one-sided match. You know what I mean? I learned a ton from Ruckus, man. And, I wish Ruckus was still in CZW. Like, a lot of people still want Ruckus in CZW. Ruckus still has a lot to offer in CZW and the business in general. Backstage stuff is the reason why Ruckus isn't in CZW.
Joker.
Another star. Like, to me, like, with Joker, like, Joker is somebody that always had responsibilities. And I think his military commitment kind of stopped his wrestling career. Because when you think back to Joker's rise, like, when Ian Rotten was booking him, right, he was booking him strong. So that would have led to Joker doing other things, like Ring of Honor. And you already know how the pattern goes. You know, you wrestle for a smaller company, then you go to Ring of Honor, then you go to PWG, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, like, these are companies that are looked at as, you know, higher quality companies. So if you're in these higher quality companies, more people see you. So I think Joker would have took that ride. He would have done those companies. He would have ended up in probably New Japan. He would have ended up in WWE. I think, like, if he didn't have the military commitments, Joker would be signed right now. Joker is that talented. Joker is a star.
Drew Gulak.
Drew Gulak, man. He's like my younger brother, man. Like, I see a bright future for Gulak, man. I see him going to WWE and making a lot of money, and he deserves it. I mean, like, for the longest time, you know, he was always doing his thing under a different gimmick. I don't know if that's out there. But, like, I think it's great that over the last few years, people have been seeing what he can do as Drew Gulak.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's wrestling for all of these companies that are looked at as top-notch. And he's shining, man. And he's doing it his way, too. He's someone that's never kissed anybody's ass. He's always, everything that he's done it through hard work. And it's paying off. And I'm proud of him. I'm happy for where he's going to be going in the next couple of years.
Nick Gage.
I mean, what can you say about Nick Gage, man? Like, when I first came to CZW, Nick Gage was one of the guys that you had to, and it was back when you had to, like earn your keep in CZW.
Yeah.
Like, Gage was somebody that you had to earn his respect. If you go in that locker room being a dickhead, Gage was one of the guys that would kick your ass or throw you out. And like when he was gone for a while, we all missed him. And when he got out, we all was happy that he came back, man. And like a lot of people always looked at Gage as just a deathmatch guy. But Gage can do everything. Like, mm-hmm. He can talk, he can work regular matches. Like Gage is a star, man. And like, you know, like, it's unfortunate, like, what's going on now, man, because like, yeah. Gage is somebody that man, like Gage has that it factor that makes people want to pay money to see him, no matter where he's at. You know what I'm saying? And like, I hope in the long run everything works out for Gage, because he's somebody that we need to have around.
And I kind of saved the best for last. The internet wrestling community, and you're pondering all about this one.
All right, the internet wrestling community. Number one, I love how passionate they are. You know what I'm saying? The thing with them is, like, and it's crazy. The crazy thing is, like, we're all fans, right?
Right.
But there's a select few of fans that they'll bash other fans. Like, I know I'm a fan, but I'm smarter than you. You know what I'm saying? Like, some fans will look at other fans like these other fans are inferior to them. Like, those inferior fans are the marks. But no, I'm a smart fan, so I'm not a mark. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I'm guilty of it. I just look at them as just, so not as like saying I'm smarter than them, but just like it is kind of that inferiority complex. So I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's like they'll have this attitude like I'm super fan, so you must impress me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I think like, in a lot of ways, it fucks up their enjoyment, because a lot of fans, they'll hate watch things. You know what I'm saying? They'll watch things, right?
Yeah.
But they'll just watch it so that they can bash it. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
mm-hmm.
If they give anything a compliment, in their own mind, they'll feel like they're being a bitch by praising things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's crazy. It fucks up their enjoyment, but for me, I love when they get pissed off. Like, if I start saying things about them, or if I meme them on Twitter or something like that, I enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
they'll bash me all day long, and I mean, I'm not one of these wrestlers that takes that stuff personally. I mean, look, man, we in the ring, basically in our drawers with baby oil on, you know what I'm saying? Like, doing
right.
questionable things, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, how serious should we be? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean,
right.
As far as, like, the fans that bash me, I can say you're welcome, because I give them a whole lot of stuff to talk about, you know what I'm saying? And as far as the pondering guys, see, like, I listen to everything, man. I listen to every podcast that's out there. So,
yeah.
I listen to them. Hey, man, I ain't ashamed. I listen to everything. I listen to ponderings. I listen to this stuff all the time.
Right.
But, like, the thing is, like, the one dude, the not-Sylvester with the list, the other guy, like, I appreciate his sarcasm. Like, he's one of those guys that, like, I can appreciate when he says negative things and his sarcasm and all that.
Yeah.
Like, he does it pretty clever. But the other guy, the fat guy, Like, he's one of those guys. He acts like a woman, man. And no, I'm not talking about his sexuality, because you know how, as soon as you say thing, people want to twist it around.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What I mean when I say he acts like a woman is he acts like, man, like, he acts like he can bash this or that, right? Because he's super fan. He's super this guy. He's super editor.
Yeah.
So if somebody says something to him or about him that's similar to what he said about somebody else, oh, it's the end of the world, brother. Then that person is unprofessional and blah, blah. He throws a bitch fit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, man, like, I think he's a very unhappy person, man. That's what I think.
Yeah, it's a shame because there's a couple of people on that site that I am cool with. Me personally, I am cool with. And unfortunately, it's the old adage, one bad apple spoils the bunch. So,
yeah, and you know what else, though? And you know what else? All of those guys, I guess they all homies or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that some of the guys that work with him or work for him, they feel the same way about him that I feel about him. But they can't say it, though, brother, because it's going to fuck up their relationship.
Yeah, like, of course.
Hey,
it is what it is.
Hey, Jerome, the guys that work for you, they feel the same way about you that I feel about you. They just can't say it. And while they listening to this, they laughing their ass off because they like, oh, man, Jesus, right? He's saying some shit that we can't say right now. So, Jerome, you're a clown. I appreciate that you're a wrestling fan, but you are a clown. A real clown.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate because it gives, you know, myself, like, who I'm not going to say everything's great, you know what I mean? Like, if you do a podcast or do a review or anything like that, I'm not going to say everything's great. I'm going to, if I find something that I need to critique on and be constructive on, I will, but those people just give it a bad name, and that's why I'm just not a fan of that person and all that. But it is what it is. So there you go. That's we had to save that one for last.
Yeah, and another thing about it is this, man. Like, I mean, people have podcasts, and that's great. You know what I'm saying? Whether they say anything positive or negative, that's like putting all wrestling companies and talent out there. You know what I'm saying?
It's still exposure. And like, for the most part, at the end of the day.
Yeah, we all appreciate it, you know what I'm saying? And for the most part, not many wrestlers take any of that negative stuff personally, you know what I'm saying? When you get into wrestling or any form of entertainment, you sign up for this, you know what I'm saying? People going to praise you, people going to talk shit, part of the game, and it's all good.
It's all good. Where do you see the future in wrestling hold for the Black G's going forward?
I would say like this, man. I mean, I'm not actively trying to get in a whole lot of places.
Right.
You know what I mean? If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know what I'm saying? I've accomplished way more than what I thought I would. I accomplished way more than what a little tiny kid from West Philly should have accomplished. You know what I'm saying? So if opportunities happen to where I pop up in like a NXT or an ROH or any of these companies, you know what I'm saying? Cool. If it doesn't happen, then it just wasn't meant to happen, you know? So
do you see yourself, like, going behind the curtain after you finish up in-ring? Like,
Nah. I'm one of those people that, I've never interested in being backstage or behind the scenes, man. I never had that desire. Like,
right.
I just want to perform, you know what I'm saying? And if I can't perform in front of the camera, you know what I'm saying, then I don't want the responsibilities of being like an agent or like a booker or something like that. I got to perform in front of the camera, you know? Like, I never wanted to be a referee or anything like that, you know what I mean? So, it's always like in front of the camera for me.
So this Saturday, you and Pepper Parts, along with Cherry Bomb, TV Ready against Matt Tremont and Sogio at Down with the Sickness. Once again, live on iPay-Per-View, Flyer Skid Zone, Voorhees, New Jersey. You can catch the show at streamcw.com. I believe November the 14th, Jersey All-Pro Wrestling returns. And in Rahway, you're defending the Jersey All-Pro Light Heavyweight title against someone who's been kind of making his wave in the Tri-State area over the last couple months, the bad boy, Joey Janela. Any other upcoming appearances you have over the next couple of
months? I might have a few out there. I mean, you can just check me out. I mean, I'll put my dates and everything that I'm doing. I usually throw that up there on my Twitter, G215, J-E-E-Z-215. That's pretty much it, man. You know, like, keep supporting indie wrestling.
Definitely.
Keep cheering for the good guys. Keep cheering, keep hating, keep booing the bad guys. Yay, wrestling. Did that sound corny enough for the nerds out there?
That's about as good a way to end this anyway. So, geez, man, I want to thank you for joining us here on WrestleView.com for this latest interview. You have an open invitation to come back whenever you like, sir. And this Saturday, CCW, everybody, down with the sickness. Go check out the Black G's. He teams with Pepper Parts, TV Ready, alongside Cherry Bomb against the new CCW Heavyweight Champion, Matt Tremont and Sojo. So, for the Black G's, it's been Jason Amico. Sign off, folks. Have a good one, and be sure to check out Combat Zone Wrestling this Saturday night.